Part 54. Foundation of Reckoning. Reckoning in our life union with the Lord Jesus Christ establishes us in the full assurance of salvation. On this foundation, we are able to reckon on our eternal, unconditional security in Him. Until we are grounded in the truths of substitution and union, we are not prepared for the more demanding reckoning of our identification with Him in His death and resurrection and on to ascension. The believer who doesn't realise that he is eternally secure in Christ, a birth true for babes, is certainly not going to be able to trust Him for emancipation from sin and maturity of growth. Those who begin weakly and are not instructed concerning their position in the Lord Jesus are apt to remain weaklings. They move mainly up, down, and backwards, with rarely any forward spiritual progress and abiding growth. For the most part, they subsist on experiences and so-called blessings, and they seem to go from one crisis to another, never really settling down to reckon on the risen Christ as the source of their life here and now. It has been felt necessary to include the following selected materials on eternal security. These truths may be of help to any believer who is attempting to enter onto the reckoning of identification before they are settled in that of justification. If you recognise in the word of truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour because He is God the Son, who became the Son of Man, and as such bore in His body the sin of the world, and if you rest in Him in self-surrender for fellowship, relying with confidence on Him alone for deliverance from the guilt and penalty of your sins and from the power of indwelling sin, then there are 12 proofs that you can never be lost. 1. Because in the eternal sure purpose of God, you are a vessel of mercy and will finally be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory, for which He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Romans 9:23 and chapter 8, verse 29. 2. You can never be lost because God's infinite power is no longer hindered by your sins, but can wholly keep you safe, for the blood of Christ still removes your guilt, for He is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2:2. Another proof that you cannot be lost is because God's love for you, supremely expressed at Calvary, can now be manifested much more, and so accomplish His every desire for you. God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Romans 5:8-10. A fourth proof that you cannot be lost is because of His delight in the Son, God can never reject the prayer of the Son, asking God to keep them which Thou hast given Me. I pray for them, said Jesus, for they are Thine. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given to Me. John 17:9-11. A fifth proof you can't be lost is because the death of the Son, having a value equivalent to the punishment demanded for all your sins, has paid also for the sins you now commit. Therefore there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yes, rather, and is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and who maketh intercession for us. Romans 8:1-34. A sixth proof is because by the resurrection of Christ, God has broken your connection with Adam and joined you to Christ for acceptance and life. You being dead in sins, hath he quickened or enlifted together with him, Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses. So yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And the quotes were Colossians 2:13 and Romans 6:13. A seventh proof you can't be lost is because although your sin can hurl you into hell, Christ, as your advocate, defends you. Christ is entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:24-26. An eighth proof is that because Christ ever liveth to make intercession for you, Satan has no power to unsave you. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. A ninth proof is that the Holy Spirit has taken over your body as his personal, permanent home. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever. A tenth proof is because the Holy Spirit has planted in you the very life of God, making God your real Father. John 1:13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. An 11th proof is because the Holy Spirit has now united you with Christ, and you are a very part of himself. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And the 12th proof that you can never be lost is because the Holy Spirit in you is the seal that your salvation is a finished transaction. In Ephesians 4:30 we read, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Though your present sin cannot unsave you, remember that there are other penalties to bring upon yourself, the least of which is the chastisement at your Father's hand. And in Hebrews 12:6 we read, do not faint when he corrects you, for those whom the Lord loves he disciplines. Further, to accept and teach that a blood-bought child of God can fall from grace is to assault the very nature, character, and sovereign purpose of God, as well as his justice and his love. Such teaching is an assault on the nature of God, in that believers are declared to be partakers of the divine nature in 2 Peter 1:4, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, as we read in John 1:13, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, John 14:16-17. It is not only an assault on the nature of God, but also an assault on the character of God, his faithfulness and truthfulness, is that the life he imparts, he gives his pledge to maintain. His promise is this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John 10:28. And in John 5:24 we read, and shalt not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Also, the doctrine of falling from grace is similarly an assault on the sovereign purpose of God as set forth in Romans 8:28-30, where the believer is seen in the purpose of God in the eternity of the past, in God's foreknowledge and predestination, and in the eternity of the future, sharing the very glory of Christ. John 17:22-26. And then there is an assault on the justice of God, in that God declares concerning the believer, "Your life is hid with Christ in God," Colossians 3:3, and that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, and no separation from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:1-37-39. And thus we can thank our Heavenly Father for his justice. For it is this which preserves the child of God from a second charge. Payment. God cannot demand payment twice. First at my bleeding, sure at his hand, that's Jesus, and then again at mine. Lastly, it's an assault on the love of God, in that God declares his love as an everlasting love, from which nothing shall be able to separate us. For he is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Jeremiah 31:3, Romans 8:39, and Jude 24.